So our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. And if we'd have been here last week, it'd have been verses 1 through 45. So these readings are very long this time of year. So as you could tell, the only ones I'm reading is the gospel reading because it is so long. So let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. As he, Jesus, walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed. Now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," he said. "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who was blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, though, I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he said. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see me or do not see me may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, that we may become instruments of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. So we are in the fourth week of Lent. We started this journey of Lent with the trials of Jesus in the desert 4 weeks ago. Then we had the nighttime visit by a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who had a very hard time understanding what in the world Jesus was trying to communicate to him. He has a hard time getting beyond his intellect to understand what it means to be born again, or born of the Spirit, which is to die an old identity and way of being and into a new identity and way of being. Last week, if the storm had not had allowed us to come to church, we would have talked about the Samaritan woman at the well. In last week's passage, there's one thing, though, that I need to point out. And I encourage you to go back and read, as I have left it on the bulletin for you to read last week's readings. Jesus brings up a very important point. Worship is meant to engage our true selves. When we worship, we are to put our whole spirit into our worship, whether here in church on a Sunday morning or at home reading a daily devotional. You are to put your heart and soul or spirit into listening to and thanking God. And that brings us to the blind man. He receives his sight from Jesus, and all of a sudden, no one seems to recognize him. Some of his friends say, it's him. And others say, it's someone like him. Some of his friends say, his parents tell the Pharisees to ask him as he is old enough to answer for himself. So what is the problem? Did Jesus' miracle change his facial look? Was his behavior way more upbeat than before? Was he defined by his blindness, and now that he is no longer blind, they don't know how to define him, so they just say they don't know him? How many times have we defined someone by their disability or their biggest failure, and then had a hard time changing our perception when they had success or they overcame that disability? Now, being in special ed world for now almost 30 years, once a label's put on a student, it is hard to change that label or to remove it. We do a great job of defining an individual, but not so good in removing and changing the way we look and we perceive some individuals. David Lowe has some great commentary on this that I think is very important to hear. Many scholars see in this story the historical experience of the community to which the Gospel of John is addressed. That is, John's community may very well have been expelled from the synagogue for confessing Jesus as the Messiah. And this narrative tells their powerful story. The passage works to undermine simplistic understandings of sin. When the disciples voice a common view of the day, disability or hardship is a result of sin, Jesus disagrees. When the Pharisees assume that knowledge of the law automatically grants them righteousness, Jesus points out that they cannot see the forest through the trees. If they were able to admit their blindness, they would not be sinning, and they would see with understanding. In John's gospel, sin at its most basic is not recognizing Jesus as God's Messiah, the person through whom God is at work to save the world. So the turning point of the story may be when the man born blind receives his sight. Many Christians since, including John Newton, the slave trader turned abolitionist and composer of Amazing Grace, which we just sang two verses of, has been inspired by this man, blind man's confession. One thing I do know, though I was blind, I now see. Now there are three questions that David Lowe poses after talking about this passage for us to consider, and I have had those printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. Here they are. One, when have you ever felt isolated or abandoned? Two, how do we typically define sin? How does this story broaden your understanding of both sin and grace? And three, where have we felt blind in our lives? Where have we experienced a sense of new sight, new life, a new chance to be the persons we have been called to be? So, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, and I've probably said this to some of you, this is not where I pictured myself being in 2008. So in 2008 was the very first time I ever had to preach in front of a congregation. And I was about to retire. The pastor in the Baptist church we were going to asked myself and another military individual to come and talk about our experiences with God in the military. So I took half the preaching, he took the other half the preaching. And right about there, where Kevin is sitting, was all of my family, brother, sister, grandmother, aunt. So they got to see my first experience of preaching. Now, I've been a teacher for 10 years by that time. Okay, I stand in front of military individuals, no more than 20, and they had no choice but to listen to what I had to say. We're in the military. But when you stand here in front of friends, I'd been there 3 years, and family, and then try and preach, that's not so easy. But after I did that, and then of course I had time to look back on it, I went, you know, I could do that. But still, it was not my goal in 2008 to end up here in 2023 preaching to all of you. Sometimes God decides you're going in different directions than you think you're going. But that's what this is talking about. New sight, new life, a new chance to be the persons we have been called to be. So to finish, I would like you to think about these questions. I would also like you to read, in addition to the text for next week, which are in your bulletin, John 10, 1 through 20. That's the next 20 verses. That is Jesus' reply to the blind man. And that is what Rich Ekstrom Fuller, who's going to be preaching on the 30th, is going to talk about. He's going to talk about those exact verses. So what is the good news of today's gospel reading? Additionally, how can we at First Presbyterian Church implement that good news? So Nicodemus is considered one of the most righteous and respected leaders in Israel, and he does not understand Jesus' teaching, but he is willing to listen. The Samaritan woman at the well, who may be misunderstood in her community, receives the message from Jesus, and she becomes the first evangelist to spread the good news. The blind man, he's given his sight. He's kicked out of his community because of believing in Jesus. He then accepts Jesus as a Messiah and becomes a disciple. What does this tell us about Jesus' message? That it includes everyone. That it is an all-inclusive message. There are no boundaries to the message and who can receive it. Rich, poor, outcast, unloved, downtrodden, those that are considered unacceptable in society, those with disabilities. Jesus wants us to include everyone. Now, How can we respond to this message that includes everyone? What can we, First Presbyterian Church in Chippewa Falls, do to show that we have this living water that the woman at the well and the blind man receive, and what we and that we want to share it with our community? What if we promoted our Wednesday night dinners to the whole community, especially to those that would not normally come to events like that? What if we promoted it to our families that visit us here at the food pantry? What if we posted it on any social media site that we know of? What if we went out, put it on bulletin boards at the senior center, the local businesses, anywhere to let people know we want them to join us and to fellowship with us? What kind of response might we get? If you think of any others, thinking up ways that we can reach out to the community in big or small ways, let myself, or I'm putting Session on the hook here, the Session members know. Shoot me an email. My email's right on the front. Don't worry about it if we can't afford it or if it needs a lot of people to run. We're just getting ideas. We may try some and find they don't work in our community and in our church setting, and that's okay. God has given us all different gifts, and when you start something, God will provide what you need when you need it the most, when he sees that what you are doing is honoring him. Jesus' message is for everyone, all-inclusive, no exceptions. It is our job as his disciples to spread it with the gifts he has given us. Amen.